forgot the theme. I forgot the theme of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Take 247. Oh, that's actually, I'm glad this is Take 247 because I had a good, an interesting first time watch that has to do with the number 47. Everyone, welcome back. It is me and TC here with a new take for TMNT Mutant Mayhem, a new animated film from Paramount and Nickelodeon. We are not going to do favorite trailer and movie news because guess what? We're switching it up today. We've both got five movies for the other to blind rank. I see people do these all the time. Like, I'm such a sucker for the rank these NBA players blindly, and I'll do it as they're doing it too. So I thought, why don't we do it? Let's just do it. So, but we are going to talk about favorite things we watched because we've watched a lot of stuff lately. August 12th was my birthday. I watched four movies, including TMNT. So I had some interesting watches I'm excited to talk about. And then we are reviewing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. Giving our thoughts. Give y'all your thoughts, too, because some of y'all responded with your thoughts. Without any further ado, TC, we have big news that we have now not, I don't think, announced on the pod. Maybe we have, but I forgot.
No, we haven't. So I'll announce it. Keeks and I will be work neighbors. We will be down the road from each other. So I will be the school counselor at Jordan Academy for Technology and Careers at the North Campus. And 2 miles away, just to the west, is my guy, the best film teacher there is in the land, Mr. Kimiko Adcock there at Copper Hill. So, yeah, we'll be at meetings together. Pretty fun.
We might just confirm that today we have a meeting with each, like, at the same place.
Let me triple check. I'm pretty sure I will be there on Tuesday.
I'm 90%. I know that mine's at JTEC South. Yeah, as we both bring up our schedules. Well, oh, wait, no, Tuesday. Tuesday I have my meeting, not today. So tomorrow I have my meeting.
Yep. It says district-wide professional development at JATC South on Tuesday for all CTE teachers. Lunch on your own. We are hanging out all
Wait, shut Tuesday. Up. We do have the same one. That's right, because you are CTE. Shut up.
Okay, we'll be hanging out. We'll post something up on Instagram.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Lunch on your own. So we'll probably just go hit up Wingstop or some Jersey Mike's right there. It's right across the street from JATC. I had a big counselor meeting there at the South Campus. South Campus is nice.
I don't know if... Oh, no, I have been to the South. It is nice. Yeah,
it is nice. North is nice, too. I'm not mad about it. I just went the other day to kind of like look at my office, and there's like a faculty lounge back there. And not only that, there's like bathrooms. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, this is definitely a step up from where I was working.
Because, wait, have you seen my classroom?
No, I'm going to come visit.
Okay, yeah.
Now I'm totally going to come visit. I'm down the road. Like, we can have,
swing so, by. And we've already planned. Look, here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. So I'm in the library. I'm tucked back in the media center. My room's kind of a weird location. And there's a bathroom for the media center, like kind of tucked back for the librarian and her aides. I use that one sometimes, especially sometimes when I got to go number two. And I just ravaged that bathroom. I feel really bad. But we all do it. Everybody poops, everyone.
It does. It does. The worst bathroom was when I was at Temp View in 2021. And the closest bathroom to me was like through the library, because like my classroom was kind of the library.
Yeah, it was.
And it was so old. Like, I think that toilet seat has been there since the 70s. It was disgusting. And like, it didn't flush very well. And like the other bathroom was like, I had to go to like the administrator's office, which was kind of a walk. So very much so looking forward to having a bathroom within close vicinity. But yeah, I'm excited. I just had like the new employee induction on Friday. Jordan School District, dude, has hired 350 new employees.
Oh my gosh.
300. Dude, Jordan School District is huge. I had no idea. It is massive.
I think it's the second or third big. I know it's the third highest paying, but so, size what? Yeah, but it, I mean, it's massive.
Massive. So everybody seems very excited. We had we went to West Jordan Middle School, and they had like the drum line playing, cheerleaders. They had the faculty like cheering us on as we walked in. So It was a good feeling. It was very cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the new chapter. Some people know this news, but yeah, I'll be dealing with a lot of CTE students, kind of a little bit of concurrent enrollment, mainly just CTE, where like medical assisting, dental assisting, aviation program, veterinary services, classes like that. So I'm hyped.
Dang, they have an aviation one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sick.
An internship class. So
wow.
Yeah, it's going to be, I have no idea like exactly what I'm doing. So it's going to be a good first month of being like really getting my feet wet. So, but the team seems awesome and hyped. Hyped just to be down the road from the Sweet Keeks.
It's so funny. We joked about it like a year ago. I was like, bro, just what if you were a counselor at Copper Hills High School? And like they actually did have an opening, apparently, from what I heard, you know, a few months ago. And then now you're working at JTech, which is perfect because you don't want to work together. But working adjacent or close is great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. It's so funny because I remember telling Kennedy, I was like, oh man, Keeks has to drive like to West Jordan every day from like Vineyard. I was like, that is a commute. And here I am doing it now with you.
It's yours isn't bad though. Yours is right off of Bangor. Literally you get off and it's, I mean, you know, mine is probably a good like 5 to 8 minutes away from you.
Do you take Bangor Highway?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've been taking I-15. I get off at 900 South. I think I'm going to try Bangor tomorrow.
Bangor's great, especially when you're going at like 9 a.m. Or not 9 a.m. You were driving through there around 6:30 a.m. Yeah. There's no one there.
Okay, I think I'm going to do Bangor tomorrow. Yep. Give that a try. Mm-hmm. Love it. So, yeah, that's the news. Pretty exciting. The Sweets are working together, technically. Same school district.
Sure are. Yeah. Thanks to this podcast, it has gotten me the job where I work at and gotten me doing films full time. And now we're working together. TC, the pod has been awesome because it is our journal for the last 5 years.
You know what's also very fun about the podcast is when I was like fleshing out my resume, because that's what Kennedy does. She like, you know, obviously does a lot of recruiting for her job. And so she's looking at resumes left and right. She was like, you need to put like additional interests and like say that you're like a co-host of a podcast. You like Lord of the Rings, like Lord of the Rings enthusiast, like amateur baker. Cause I was like, she's like, yeah, those things like stick out. Like people remember those. Mm-hmm. So it's been so fun to be like, yeah, like I have a podcast about movies and like interviews. And people are always like, oh, what'd you think about this movie? It's an instant conversation starter.
There is nothing better to talk about with people than movies or TV shows. There's never an ounce of like animosity. I mean, sometimes people will, but like you would have to engage with it, which I typically don't. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone's always interested. What did you think about this movie? What did you think about that? Oh, why did you think that way? So it's been a fun, very, very fun conversation starter because everybody has a podcast. Not everyone, but a lot of people do, but it's like, we've been doing this baby since 2018. We love all you Sweets. Thanks for supporting. And it's movies. It's kind of like, it's not a self-help thing. So that's, you know, not that self-help is bad, but it's just kind of fun that it's, you know, has a subject.
Movies rock.
They sure do.
And like when I say movies rock, I need you to blind rank. So we talked about it.
Okay, yeah. Tell me the steps.
I will give you 5 movies, and you have to blind rank them. I will fill them in on our notes so that I can kind of remind you where you have them ranked. 5 films. I've got them all right here. You got to rank them 1 through 5. So, you know, so let's say we...
Mm-hmm. So you'll... Okay, so from my understanding, you'll say the movie, like just one movie, and I'll say, okay, that's going to be at 3.
Correct.
And then you'll say the next movie, I'll be like, okay, that movie is going to be at 1. And then the next movie could actually be better than 1, but I've already placed it at 1. So I have to place it at 2.
Yep. Yep.
Ooh,
so here we go.
Yeah. I've seen this on Instagram. I like it.
Okay. So. Your first one is Prisoners.
Three.
Denis Villeneuve banger. Okay.
I'm going to put that at 3.
Prisoners. Great. If none of you have seen Prisoners, it's an incredible movie. Check it out. Arrival.
I'm going to put that at 5.
Okay. Okay. Blade Runner 2049. Oh.
That's good. That is good. Ugh.
I like the
silence. I'm going to put that at 2. I'm going
to put that at 2? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to put that at 2.
Okay. The next one, Sicario.
Yeah, I'm going to put that at 4.
Okay. I think you were expecting one of these movies to be it.
And what's number one?
It's Enemy.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have that as number one. I'd probably...
You were thinking Dune, weren't you?
I was thinking totally Dune.
I didn't mean to be that tricky. I'm just kidding. It is actually Dune.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is Dune.
Oh, stop that.
Yeah, you really... it really was Dune.
Because I was like, Enemy's good. Really, if it really was Enemy, I'd probably have Blade Runner 2049 at one, Prisoners at two. I'd probably have Sicario at three, Enemy at four, and then Arrival at five. But
yeah, and now I realize don't pick themed ones because it makes it easier to guess.
Okay.
As I was giving it to you, I think you can kind of figure which ones were going to come next. So I'll have to diversify a little bit more next time.
Oh, I like this blind ranking. This might have to be a regular thing. This is really fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Dune, Blade Runner 2049, Prisoner. I think this would be my top five. I'm actually really happy.
Yeah, I think this is it. I think some people would maybe have Blade Runner, Prisoners, Dune, Sicario, Arrival. But no, honestly, you could put any one of these in the first, in like, you could do any order.
Dude,
I don't know how I would rank these.
Villeneuve actually might be my favorite director because all five of these movies I love, and I need to watch Incendiaries.
Yeah, Incendiaries and Polytechnique are the two that I've got to watch. Yeah.
Let's do it. Watch night.
Oh,
let's do Incendiaries.
Doubleheader.
What is it called? Incendiaries?
I think it's Incendiaries is what it's called.
Incendiaries. Yeah. Yeah, that's on my watch list. Okay.
Okay, what are mine?
You ready?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I will give you a clue. This is not themed at all.
Okay, good. I'm not going to do theme next time. I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. Keep it themed. No, you can't. You got to do, but you can't do, like, here's one thing that I would say. You can't do four bangers and then throw in the Master of Disguise. Like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. No, I've done my homework on these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll reveal it afterwards. Okay, starting off with the first one.
Okay.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Four.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it. I'm filling it out for you.
Okay, great. Great, great, great.
Okay, next one.
Mm-hmm.
Her.
Oh, that's two.
Okay.
Yeah, that's two. Gosh, dang. I've never been in this position. I'm always kind of like third party watching as people rank them and I'm doing it in my head. This is great. Okay, hers number two.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
That's five. Yeah. Yeah, that's five.
Okay. Last two.
Okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, I feel like these are all A pluses that I've given. So man. See, it's so hard because it's like, okay, Her is like a better movie, I think, more poignant, but Pirates is so fun. Me and Becky have been talking about Pirates a lot, and I'm going to put it at one. Pirates of the Caribbean at number one.
Okay. You ready for your last one?
Yeah, let's do it.
For the three spot?
Yeah, what's three?
The Batman. Matt Reeves.
Okay, I don't hate it. No, that's pretty good. That actually is probably how I would have it. If I would have put Pirates at three and the Batman at one, I think I would have been like, I would have swapped those.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is you. I could see you swapping Her and the Batman even, but I know how much you love Her.
Yeah. Her is great. Her is like one of the most important films of the 2010s, I think.
For sure.
Ooh, those are fun.
That was a good one. I think we got it to a T.
Yeah. We both did. We'll have to throw it in. We'll do like a story and have all of y'all submit how you would do it.
You had me scared though for Enemy. I was like, I would not have Enemy at one. But when you were like Dune, I was like, okay, good.
I almost did like switch it up and pull an audible, but I was like, not fair. You got to keep the list that you prepared.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I like it. So I did. I did some research on your Letterbox because I know I just like went through your 4.5, 5 stars and. Uh-huh. Wanted to mix it up, like Kubo is an anime, or yeah, anime.
Yeah,
it's an anime, right?
Animated, stop motion, animated.
And then four, What We Do in the Shadows, comedy, The Batman, drama, action, Her, drama, Pirates of the Caribbean, just action adventure. So,
you know what's so funny?
It'll mix everything.
I love that. Okay, I'm going to do something similar for you. Maybe we'll do this every week. I like doing these. Very fun.
I like it.
Okay. TC, I'm sure you've watched some things lately. What have you watched? What's the favorite thing you've watched?
I'm going to say it is Burn After Reading, the Coen brothers. Have you seen it?
No. Mm-mm.
It is the best way to describe. I don't want to give away too much because I think it's one of those movies you just got to go in blindly. It has grown on me more than, you know, when you watch a movie, you're like, I liked that. And mm-hmm. then like the next day, you're like, actually, I really liked that.
Yeah.
That's how this movie is, because it is just like, it's a tight script. It's a quick buck and a half watch.
Oh,
and you have amazing performances from top to bottom, like Brad Pitt, Francis McDormand, George Clooney. You have John Malkovich and you have Tilda Swinton, like all work really well. And it's just, it really is idiots doing idiotic things and making idiotic decisions and how everything unfolds. It is like, it's like dark comedy. It is like shocking moments and how everything wraps up in the end. You're like, really? No way. So I'm going to give that probably, honestly, I might give it like an A. I'm going to say it's sweet. I'm still going to say it's sweet. There are a couple moments that are sour, but overall it is sweet, like funny dialogue. There are some scenes that like you are like glued to the TV screen of what's happening. Yeah. Read After Burning is great.
Burn After Reading?
Burn After Reading, yeah. I'm doing Blair Witch.
Did you call it Breathe After Burning?
No, I said Read After Burning.
That's actually kind of a sick title, though.
Read After Burning.
Read After Burning. That feels like a song title or like a band name. Like so, Mouse Rat.
Burn After Reading. And then I rewatched we're on a little Coen Brothers train here. And then I watched Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I think the best part about that movie is the music. I love the music. And interestingly enough, the music, apparently from what I was reading on IMDb, made more money than the movie itself did. Like, from set record sales, like concert tours, like it just blew up. I remember driving in the car with my mom and dad and they had the album, like they bought the disc.
Really?
Yeah.
I would almost venture to say that Tron's album did better than Tron did too.
Oh, I can totally see that happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Anyways,
still a good movie, but that soundtrack is awesome.
Oh, yeah. So, Oh Brother, We're Out There, I'd probably give that like an A- sweet, but I still like Burn After Reading better.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, there you go.
As a,
have it.
As a side note, going on the Tron ride at Disney World. So, for those of you, this is a little tangent. For those of you that know, you got to get on a queue, a virtual queue, to be able to like win a raffle to get your spot to go on Tron. Or you can pay like $20 to get a fast pass and go on it. It is not worth paying for the fast pass. It is worth getting the virtual queue and going on, but don't pay to go on it.
Give me three rides that are worth paying for an extra money to skip the wait.
So if you had all rides are like you got to pay money to be able to skip the wait, this applies to any ride, Expedition Everest.
100% agree. That is probably my favorite ride at Disney World. One of my favorites.
But the best ride at all of Disney World is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. It's maybe the greatest ride Disney's ever made. It's so good.
Dang.
Yeah, it's really good. And then honestly, if I were to go three, probably Avatar Flights of Passage. That's a great ride. And it's always a long line. So getting that fast pass is killer.
I think the Flight of Passage is amazing. Those rides kind of make me a little lightheaded and sick.
Yeah.
But that one, like, I got off of it and I was still like a little light. I'm a lightweight, but I was just like, that felt amazing. Like I felt like I was flying. What do you prefer? I think I've asked this on the pod, but I want to rehash this. Tower of Terror or Guardians of the Galaxy? Which one do you prefer?
Guardians.
Like, what's strong?
Yeah, Guardians. I just think Guardians theme is funner. And overall, I think it's just a slightly cooler ride. I will say though, Tower of Terror at Disney World is a fun, cool experience. How it like kind of goes through the, you know, the story a bit of the ride, but overall Guardians, I'd take it.
Yeah, see, with me, I like Tower of Terror more. Like, I just like the nostalgic of it, and I like the spooky eeriness of it.
This is our weekly Disney Audible that we take.
Yeah. So,
do you have lists of rides that you would pay to go onto the front of?
I would do Expedition Everest for sure. Okay. I would do Flight of Passage, and trying to think, dude, Mickey's. I would probably do Rise of the Resistance too. I'd probably do Rise of Resistance.
That's a good one.
I would do that.
That's a good one.
And I love Mickey Mouse Railroad Getaway.
Oh, Mickey Minnie Runaway Railroad.
Yeah, that ride is a really, really fun time.
It is. That's true.
That was probably the biggest pleasant surprise from our Disney World trip 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about that ride, and we just like got in the queue and rode it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was a blast. So,
when is the next Disney trip?
Oh, for us, we don't know. I would really like to go to Disney World again, so maybe next summer. But I don't know. We might find ourselves at Disneyland sometime this fall or next. Actually, it might be next year. I think we're going to plan a family trip on Kennedy's side to Newport next spring or summer. So that could be a we might squeeze in Disneyland that day. So that's probably the next one.
I'm going to throw this out to you.
Stop that.
If you've done Disney enough, Park Hopper one day, you can get all the good rides in. And still be able to relax. Me and Becky hit all the rides we ever want to in a day. Two days definitely gives you all the time you need.
At Disney World?
Disneyland. Disney World. Disney World, you need the long time. Honestly, the thing... Okay, so this is even more diving into the Disney tangent. Disney World is cool to go with people who have never been.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Disneyland is... I can go as many times as I'd like, and it's still as fun as always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Disney World's just more of a commitment.
Yeah, you got to commit, you know, to traveling, and you have to get in the park shuttle if you want to park hop. Yeah, you're normally at a park all day, but like it's Disneyland, the convenience is amazing where you can just, you know, cross over to, you know, California Adventures.
It rocks. The layout rocks. It freaking rocks. Okay.
Yep.
Here's my favorite watches.
Hit me.
Got a couple of them. One big one, maybe the biggest surprise of 2023. Is Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Stop.
Cute movie. Great script. Good laughs. Boy, oh boy, if you've been through puberty, you will relate to this. Doesn't matter if you're a boy or girl, whatever you identify as, doesn't matter. You're going to relate to it. It's just fun. Good script, too. Oh, my gosh. Like, I was having a good time. Some very quotable lines in it. And to see this girl, you know, who doesn't have any sort of like religious association, try to understand what God is and understand like who she is a very fun thing to witness. So
Rachel McAdams, huh?
Yeah, she's great in it too. Benny Safdie is in it. He plays like a nerdy, the nerdy dad.
Wow.
And Kathy Bates plays her grandma. Like all of like the lead cast is really good. Rachel McAdams is... There's one really great conversation that they have about Rachel McAdams' parents that is like really powerful and really great. So everyone check it out.
On my watch list.
I watched it on a plane. That's low key. I love planes because I get to watch movies that I'm like, okay, what would I not really ever watch? I've got 5 hours. What would I watch right now? Another one that I watched, not a great plane watch, was Call Me By Your Name. Looks beautiful, shot on film, Luca Guadagnino, Timothy Chalamet, the cannibal Armie Hammer. Just a really, really impressive coming of age. Man, I don't know why I'm in this coming of age mood. Must be because I teach high school or go back to school. I don't know what it is. But the real like weird one that like I was like, this, I kind of hate this, but it was great that I was able to check it off the list is Inland Empire. David Lynch's last feature length project came out in 2006. If you want to count The Return, you can for Twin Peaks, but it's like basically a TV show. It's 18 hours long. But Inland Empire is his first movie shot on digital. He bought a cheap Sony camcorder and filmed it all. And boy, does it look like it. It looks like crap. And they filmed it without a finished script. So they just kind of made up scenes as it went along. And boy, is that apparent as well. I don't know. I don't think it's very good, but it certainly was an interesting watch and fun to see him just getting famous people after famous people to be in this weird movie he wanted to make.
Dang.
So Are You There, God? Is Me, Margaret is like an A-minus sweet. Inland Empire is C-plus sour. And then Call Me By Your Name is like an A-minus sour. Maybe
is
A
he,
sour.
Is he planning on doing a new movie soon, or is he done?
I've heard rumors that David Lynch has like a script he was trying to work on before COVID, but it got shut down. And then he tried to work on it recently, but the writer's strike and the SAG strike kind of flared things up. So I hope so, man. But if not, the return and Twin Peaks is such an excellent way for him to go out. It's kind of the culmination of everything he's ever done, and it's just really impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
So those are our watches. And right now, I'm eating a piece of candy real quick.
It's go ninja, go ninja, go.
Man, directed by Jeff Rowe, who also directed Mitchell's Versus the Machines. It's written by like 5 or 6 people. It's kind of insane how many people helped write this movie. But it tells the story of our four mutant friends who live in the sewer and who yearn to be teenagers and go to high school and have these normal experiences. And when they see the opportunity to become heroes and loved by New York, they take that opportunity and they see where it will take them. With Jackie Chan as Splinter, amongst other actors. TC, what did you think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem?
So I don't know how many sweets know this. I probably have said this long ago, but I loved the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That is like my childhood. Like when I think about my childhood, I was more of a Ninja Turtle guy over Power Rangers. Like any day of the week, give me Ninja Turtles. Like Ninja Turtles and Dragon Ball Z were like my like kind of ninja-esque like favorites. So loved the Ninja Turtles, played the video games, watched the television show. As I mentioned in our Films to Be Buried With, I think that was like one of the very first memories of watching a movie was the 90s live action Ninja Turtles. So Ninja Turtles are close to my heart. So I was actually really looking forward to this movie. Yeah. And I think it did deliver on most points.
Okay.
My only really gripe is I wish it would have leaned into more of the Ninja Turtles fan service of like the theme song. I wish there were a couple more cowabungas because that's like a classic phrase that Michelangelo says a lot. I could have even had more fighting sequences, but the fighting sequences that it did display were really fun and really just, you know, unique and different. I would say one of my favorite parts of the movie was Splinter, because I've always kind of viewed Splinter as just kind of a lackadaisical, just wise dad teacher to the Turtles. But I thought Jackie Chan was hilarious. So I liked kind of the new side of the Splinter that we got to see in this movie. I thought it was a blast. But yeah, I thought all the Turtles had great charisma. And one of my other favorite parts, I love the voice acting, especially from the Turtles. I'm glad it was, you know, teenagers. I'm glad they didn't hire 30-year-olds to make and voice our Teenage Mutant Turtles. So, like, I really loved the voice of Donatello. He just, like, had this high kind of pitched voice. I don't know. Yeah. Whenever he talked, I'm like, that's how Donatello, I think, would talk.
Yeah.
So, I think this is easily top 3 best Ninja Turtle movie. I had a blast with it.
I think it's the best one. I mean, yeah. It's not like it has a lot of competition, but yeah. This is the right way to go with it.
Yeah, yes. I would still say I like the 90s live action just like by a half a step, if that. That's because it's nostalgic. I'm not going to lie. I love the nostalgic. And that was kind of a gritty movie. They got some themes in that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one just rocks. It does. It's really fun.
So I think this movie has some interesting... How is it? Some interesting storylines and some interesting kind of like lore that it tries to establish. You know, in the other movies, it feels like they just always know how to do Kung Fu and Master Splinter knows how to do Kung Fu. But in this one, it delves into that a little bit more of why they learn it and how they were able to learn it. I don't know if I love that, but it certainly was an interesting way to like explain why they know Kung Fu. I don't know in the lore how they do. I just feel like when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are introduced, they just know Kung Fu and there's no backstory to them really. Except for the ooze kind of makes up for the fact that, oh, that's how they know Kung Fu, because they're mutants. They just kind of, it's like a superpower almost.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so I like that. And I liked how each turtle had a unique design.
Yes.
I feel like in a lot of the cartoons and even like live action stuff, they all like kind of have the same suit. They all have the same look. But in this one, they're all very distinct, but still feel like brothers. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, like Michelangelo was shorter. Raphael was like big and muscular and kind of the brute force, which he is, had a missing tooth. Donatello had the glasses, and Leonardo was just kind of a little bit of all those turtles embodied into one, just kind of like, you know, the leader that he is, like strong, like about the right height for a turtle, so to speak. But yeah, no, I actually liked this side of things, like where they go up into the real world and they're like, we need to prepare ourselves, you know, to fight back. And even though it's kind of like, oh, that's it. That's the reason. But I like it. It's like, it's simple. It gets to the point, like, cool. That's how you learned how to do Kung Fu. And I loved when it showed, you know, the different videos of how they were learning Kung Fu and like the lessons that they were getting from like the VHS and like YouTube and things like that. So I thought that was really fun.
One of my favorite aspects is when they get back and Master Splinter asks them where they've been, and Leonardo comes forward. He's like, oh, but they wanted to do it. And they're like, oh man, you ratted us out. And it cuts to Splinter. And he's like, hey, we don't use that word that way. I was like, wanted like a top five favorite joke all year in movies for me. Oh my gosh. I laughed so hard. What a great, like, cause a lot of the jokes feel kind of topical and kind of trendy, like, you know, talking about Riz a lot. And it's like, I don't know how long that word is going to last, but the way they used that line was really, really funny. The action was cool. A big complaint I had is I got a couple complaints, and it's not that I think the movie is bad. I think the movie is really great. But the movie, it's so dark, so you don't really get to see how animation can look like with them in the light and like being a little bit more colorful because it is a little bit more drab. And then another one is, you know, we'll go to it with one of the suites, what they had to say. The script, it's so like telling you what the themes are, and it's also all over the place. There's something we'll touch on a little bit, but it doesn't let the audience really take what they want from the visual themes. It's pretty constantly telling you, this is how you should feel, this is what it is, this is what they think, this is how they feel. Anything that you might want to take from what they're doing right now, maybe you can, but we'll remind you how you should feel every once in a while.
Yeah, I agree. The script was kind of a little kind of all over the place, but I did love, like, you know, our main characters, and I like the easy, simple setup of like the mutants and Superfly. I thought Ice Cube voicing Superfly was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of charisma. Paul Rudd as the chameleon, I thought was
hilarious. Mondo Gecko or whatever.
Mondo Gecko. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The
milk machine was so funny. That the Mega Milker or whatever it was, 2000.
Yes.
That was also another really funny joke. But yeah, I agree. I think the animation looks amazing, like kind of how it's like half kind of like scribbled. Like it was like, okay, this is a rough draft. Let's submit it. I think that style works for the Ninja Turtles. But yeah, I would have liked to see, I would like to have seen it more lit. Like there was a lot of dark scenes in the dark, which is fine, but it's also like kind of mix it up a little bit. Give me some daylight stuff.
Yeah.
So.
There's one moment that Becky pointed out, and I kind of didn't really notice when it happens, is there's a moment in the movie and Splinter's like, okay, we're all going home. And then literally the next scene, they're not at home and they're at like the bad guy's base. And it was kind of like, okay, I guess there was some miscommunication there and probably not enough money to be able to go through and.
Yeah. I don't even remember that part. Where was it?
It's near the end. It's kind of like middle end. Okay. Where they've just rescued, you know, the right after the Splinter Milker fight, basically.
Gotcha. Oh, he's like, we're going home. And then they go to the base of the Superfly and the mutants and they approach them.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, we're here. Oh yeah. I remember thinking that too. I was like, wait, we're already here.
Yep.
Yeah. A little bit of a time jump there.
And you know, it probably was, they notice it and they're like, We don't have the time. We don't have the time to fill that in. Hopefully people are having a good enough time that they won't notice it. I really do think that like the animation was so much fun. And it is entering into that Spider-Verse 2D, 3D combination of animation. Or like, I would probably rather watch Mitchell's vs. the Machines or Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and especially Spider-Verse before it. But that being said, I still think the movie is a B-plus sweep. I think it is absolutely like a lock for an Academy Award nomination. It's not Across the Spider-Verse, though.
No. Just
absolutely is not.
I agree. I'd rather watch Mitchell vs. the Machines. I would still rather watch this over Puss in Boots. I would give this a B-plus sweep as well. I think it's very sweet. I think this is a movie that you can, you know, watch as a big kid, or you can take your kids to watch it. A
lot of kids in our screening.
Yeah. So I think it's really fun. I loved it. Like, I like this more than Mario, but
definitely.
I'm a homer for Ninja Turtle. So I like what they did, and I hope that they can do everything good and everything that needs to be improved on, like mainly the script, to the next movie. Because, you know, they introduced, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, he's one of two big bad guy villains that the Ninja Turtle has had.
So yeah, Shredder's coming in, which is great. Like, I think Shredder should be led up to like being a big baddie. So.
Yeah, I agree. You can't have Shredder be the first one.
Yeah, like let it be Superfly, because Superfly is like a villain that you do fight in one of the video games. So,
I have, let's read some of the sweets and then I'll give my prediction of the next movie. Okay, and we'll maybe get into a little bit of spoilers. But the sweets, we asked y'all just some basic, what did you think of the movie? What kind of grades would you give it? You know, all that good stuff. And overall, everyone seems to say that it's sweet. The majority of people really liked it. Okay, so it seems to be more sort of sweet. Some interviews, some reviews, Frank Derv, crazy accurate modern teenage characters, so much Riz. Yeah, I know Spencer, Sprinkter, if we know him, he's been on this podcast. Not a word that Spencer uses a lot, Riz. So,
and they said sus. Oh, they think I'm sus. I'm sus.
Yeah. Like, that's some aspects I think like that might not wear out, might not last very long, but that's also teenagers. Like, they're just very
that was really that was only the two terms that I really was like, okay, that's like a teenage term, was sus and Riz. Everything else I felt like, and then the Attack on Titan references, how about cool. that?
That was sick. That was sick. That was pretty crazy that a massive like plot of the movie was Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Very cool.
That was cool. Jacob underscore Bernard underscore 2007 says, I really enjoyed the animation and the combat in this film was really good. Overall good movie. Tantan Ralph said, some of the most fun I've had watching animated fight sequences. Kellyanne Farmer, I could not agree more with this review. Felt like a billion writers wrote it. Love the length. Hour and a half is perfect. Yep. Then Happy Hippie says, way more fun than I thought it would be. And I think we all kind of think that way. I mean, I knew that like off those first trailers, I knew it would be good, but it was a good confirmation to see. Okay. Yeah, it is good. Now, who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
I've always been a Raphael fan. That's my guy.
Yeah, same. Michelangelo got the most voice. I was shocked by that.
Michelangelo is the comedic relief. He's always been the comedic relief. So,
I guess so.
My ranking would go Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello, and then Leonardo.
Donatello's always been last for me. It's generally like Raphael, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are mine.
Yeah, Donatello is... Yeah, I can swap Leonardo and Donatello, honestly. But that is Raphael, clear-cut, my clear-cut favorite. But I will also add to this, this film is so, so much better, oh my gosh, than those live actions one we got in like 2014 and 2017. Oh
my gosh. Boy. Yeah, the what's his name? The Michael Bay ones.
Oh my gosh, those were so bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Really terrible. like a disgrace to the Ninja Turtles name.
I don't actually mind the TMNT 2007 animated movie. That one's not bad. That's actually okay. That was pretty cool.
I think it's a good little time. So here's my prediction. We're going into spoilers a little bit. We've kind of talked about it, but so proceed with this with caution, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. Oh, TC, what was your grade for it?
B plus sweet.
Okay, cool. We're on the same page then. B-plus sweet. Shredder is coming. They got to go kidnap the turtles. They got to be able to create the military, basically weaponize their mutant blood. which is why they're hooked up to the milking machine at a certain point in the movie. I think that, well, also the movie ends with them going to high school. My thought is they know they're in high school and Shredder is going to be one of their teachers. And he's going to know that they're the Ninja Turtles. He's going to be a really nice guy to them, a really cool guy. And then they're eventually going to have to like fight Shredder, fight their favorite teacher that they've bonded with and find out that he's not a very good guy. That'd be my guess.
Oh, that's really good. I really like that.
I just think, and like that one really of the fits, turtles.
That really fits the theme because they really want to be in high school. And it's like, oh my gosh, like our teacher is bad. We had to fight.
Yeah. Like and it's not like they're not going to find out he's bad till they like, you know, maybe they, it's probably gonna be something like this is one of them is going to like slice Shredder's arm and he's going to like run away and he'll have lost or like, or they've beat him or he beats them, but they slice his arm and he, you know, he has a cut and they go in the next day to school and they notice that he has a cut on his arm in the same spot.
A little Spider-Man Green Goblin Thanksgiving dinner.
Little, you know, little Easter egg.
I like that.
For all you TMNT fans.
I like that. I think the next movie is going to involve Splinter being kidnapped and held ransom as Shredder and Splinter have always kind of, that's happened in the previous movies too. So I think they're going to kind of go back and fall back to that a little bit where they have to do some recon. They find out where he's at and kind of save the day. And then Splinter will get freed from that. But I like your plot a lot more. That hits a lot more home. That hits at home a lot more.
I'm also curious to see if they're going to incorporate the mutants that live with them now in the, you know, in the bottom, like in the sewers.
Yeah, I don't know. How involved I don't really are they care. I don't really care to see those other mutants.
No, I don't
just
either.
Keep it the Ninja Turtles, but we'll see.
Okay.
So I could all, oh, you know what I could see happening? This might be a little dark, but I could see if all those mutants are still living with them, Shredder goes down and, or, you know, his,
wipes them all
his
out.
Other villains and just wipes them all out and keep Splinter, kidnap Splinter, and they go and they're like, oh my gosh, like, whoa. So,
like, they're probably at like a high school party. And yeah. They don't want to go back home. And
Yep. And then
something
like
that.
And in doing so, they feel a bunch of guilt because they didn't go back home. And now they got to face Shredder. So, but yeah, I can see that happening too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. There's our little mini pitch for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This one was Mutant Mayhem. It's probably going to do another little alliteration. What is it going to be? What's the sequel going to be called?
Shred.
I don't know.
Shred the Gnar.
Yeah, so I was thinking it's like Shreddin' or something like that. That sounds so stupid. I don't know what it would be. Shred something. I don't know. But that's our guess.
TMNT signals of Shredder.
School Shredder. No, that's stupid. I don't know.
We'll ask this week. We'll ask you guys. We'll see what the next title should be.
But when they reveal it, we'll be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, we called it.
Yep.
We called it.
Okay, TC, what a great take. It was a great episode.
Take 248, Blue Beetle.
47.
Oh, I mean,
oh, 248 is Blue Beetle. Yeah.
Blue Beetle,
I want to see Theater Camp.
Me too. Let's try to go see Theater Camp.
It's only playing at one theater. It's only playing at Jordan Commons.
Oh, we're there already.
That's a good point. Well, we're at the district. We got to go across the freeway.
That's true.
I'm excited to see. I'm actually very excited to see Blue Beetle. So we'll talk about Blue Beetle next week. Maybe some overlooked movies of the year so far. I've got a few.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Which we should do. Okay.
And another blind ranking because that was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Got to do more of those blind rankings.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Take 247 and TC.
Stay so sweet.
Sweet.